in relation to the Civic Center, in relation to the Greenway, in relation to no longer hauling every spring a bunch of clay downtown. And I thought of Mike Williams because years ago when I first took this job, and I remember the days when Mike Williams was not a Fargo city commissioner. I remember when he was what I call an agitator. He used to go to city commission meetings and handle himself in a very professional manner and tick off everybody in the room because he asked the tough questions. And I liked that about him. I used to love to watch that all play out. And he ran, and he ran, and he won. And today he's sitting in the studio with me, Fargo City Commissioner Mike Williams. Good to have you on News and Views.
Hey, Joel. It's exciting times.
Describe to people what this project does, because Jack Sunday and I, and Jack's about as informed on Fargo as anyone, and yet I don't think he got the concept. One of us two was wrong about what this project does. So describe it to people.
Well, first of all, downtown flood protection's been into play for many, many years. In 1997, after the big flood, the Corps of Engineers said you don't have enough value downtown to meet the cost-benefit ratio. So that's why the long-term flood protection was put off. But in the meantime, we've had more frequent floods with clay dikes that don't inspire confidence. So even during that, we've tripled the value for downtown from $150 million to over now just about $600 million, almost quadruple. So downtown revitalization is not a one-night or one-decision beast. It's something that is ongoing and incremental, and it's been ongoing ever since the Radisson went in 86. But in the last 10 years, the value is quadrupled. The Renaissance Zone has helped that. But the city's also helped that by sticking to the blueprint in the 2002 Downtown Framework Plan and the 2003 Riverfront Plan. So those, the Broadway reconstruction, the Main Avenue Bridge, the new library, Dyke West, those are all projects that are laid out in these plans that are 10, 11 years old. They're a good blueprint. It's a playbook.
And that's, I guess, my point is that this wasn't something where you all got in a room and collectively together with a good old boys club said, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we, you know what I'm getting at here? I mean, yeah. what you really did do was lay out a plan year after year and try to build towards it. And that's what's being achieved here.
But, you know, where the plan came from is if you look at the number of people involved in the Downtown Framework Plan 2002, there's probably 70 people there. I was one of them as a citizen, but there are a lot of other citizens and a lot of people that have been involved in growing downtown, making their investment downtown, the early ones.
So that financially...
that make it work.
Exactly.
So the people, and then that was reaffirmed in Go 2030. So when we asked people what they want, number one was flood protection. Number two was infill. Number three was arts and culture. Number four was bikes and peds. Number five was quality design standards. So there's pent-up demand for these projects to protect and connect and beautify.
Okay, so how are you going to pay for it?
Well, the Corps of Engineers, part of the diversion is for us to divert more water through town. So the downtown flood protection is eligible for part of the money that's being used for permanent flood protection. So the flood wall portion itself is eligible for the federal funds. And then there's also some state and local money that's involved. So we think we have the money in place that we can pay for these projects.
So this is a new and innovative way. It opens up a greenway to the river. I want to talk about the social aspect. How, in your mind, what physically will this look like and what opportunities does this present for the people of not just Fargo, but Moorhead?
That's exactly right. In the framework plan, it is both downtowns plans. Connecting the downtowns has always been important, and transits work together. Moorhead works with Fargo and West Fargo and Dilworth to connect those cities, and this is just a continuation of connecting and growing those downtowns, and it's vital. So you just can't have public buildings to make a place work. You need to have residents first, and so having people live where you're building these places is very important.
Okay, and that's always been something you've pushed, you're going to build up.
That's right.
That we're not just going to build out, we're going to build up.
Right, and multi-use buildings work. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a standalone. They're speaking about a convention center. Not sure if the financing's there yet, it may be, but there's no reason that a hotel couldn't be on top of a convention center. That type of thinking, multi-use with residents involved in public and private investments, That's the key for a vitalized downtown.
Okay, when I get back, those were the easy questions, the tough ones.
All right.
Okay. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. If you want time with Mike Williams, he'll take your phone call. Go ahead, give him a call. Let's visit right after this on News and Views. Run for mayor?
Nope. But I,
you've already made your mind up on that.
That's right. I 3 terms as commissioner, and I think we need my vote to keep getting progress made.
Why? Is this something you and Sue have sat down? Or is
yeah,
this...
like I said, as long as we're making progress, I'm happy where I'm at.
Okay. Are you going to be active in getting someone to run for mayor?
Well, I think it's good to have competition. I don't think it's ever good when you don't have give people a choice. So I think it's always good to have more than one opponent. I know when I've run for commission, there's been sometimes 8 or 9 candidates, and last time there were 4, and I think that's healthy.
Okay, let me do a little rapid fire here with you. Sure. For the project downtown, is this a bunch of good old boys club where the Doug Burghams of the world get their way and everybody else pays for it?
No, and that's what's so important about the downtown framework plan. So we can show you the drawings and the concepts that were brought by the citizens. And again, reaffirmed by over 8,000 citizens that weighed in at Go 2030. This is what the people want. They want protection, they want connection, and they want it to be beautiful.
I actually want to point this out. I ask that question because it's on people's minds, but I agree with you. When I look at what Doug is doing here with some of this, I don't think there's big money in it. I think it's a passion for downtown Fargo. I really do.
I think there's other ways that he could make more money.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so he's doing what he thinks.
And he's taken the time to go to all different political sides of the aisle and explain the project. And I really respect that, the approach that he's taken.
That's right.
Okay. You found an innovative way to move water through downtown Fargo, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Why can't you find a better way to move and protect water from Fargo from the south side so that you're not enemies with everybody south of you? I mean, why is it that one engineering way you guys took a look at in downtown Fargo and said, wait, there's a better way to do this. We can mm-hmm. do this in a more innovative way. Yep. Might cost a buck or two. Why can't you do that down south instead of everybody despising each other for years and years and years to come?
I think we can. And so comprehensive water management is about that. But there's things that you need to do. We know we need to increase our dikes downtown with or without a diversion, because mm-hmm. we are going to add more water through the river downtown. Retention is important, and that's why we've made on the sales tax for both the city and for the county, I made sure that there was a notification in there that you could use some of those funds out of the county, out of the state, to help with retention. And there's $25 million available for retention. So beyond the storing or staging area that they're speaking about right now, the sooner we fulfill the 20% flow reduction to the main stem, that's the Red Board's plan that's been in place for 10 years.
Yeah.
And Red Path Project down at the Bois de Sioux is a good example. The sooner we do that, the less of an impact there will be at staging on the south end.
So is the plan, and this got asked in a meeting in Christine. Sure. I saw Perry Miller and Nathan Burseth ask Daryl Vanio if there was alternative plans that the city of Fargo or anyone had that provided permanent flood protection for Fargo that are not being shown. That this plan that the FM Diversion Authority has is deemed the only way of doing it. And Commissioner Vanio said, this is the plan. There are no other plans that I know of. Is that true?
Well, I think that when you look at what the Corps is involved in, they've already said that upstream retention is not part of this, their scope of work in this. They do have to look at the up and downstream impacts, and that's part of why buyouts are being done right now. That said, there is Lance Yowie is the representative from the Red River Basin Commission, and then he's also on the committee for the Diversion Authority to keep updated on, okay, what is the progress for the 20% main stem reduction to reduce the levels year-round, basically slow the water down, restrict it.
But you've always been one for public meetings and information. Mm-hmm. Don't you get a sense I know what's going to happen. The first time I stop in the Knicker, they're going to talk about how brilliant this is. in terms of downtown. And I realize this is a small chasm. This is just this is just the right way to move instead of constantly hauling dirt in. You know I'm 100% behind you on this. But they're going to say, look, that's actual engineering. That's thinking outside of the box. And it's a phrase that gets used too much, I know. Yeah. But that's thinking in different ways. Instead of using this Jeff Volk model of, hey, we're gonna stick it to these people. Here's our growth area. We're big winners here. Instead of, you know, that model, wait, there are other ways to engineer. We're going to look at a basin-wide approach. We're not going to look at it strictly as though Highway 46, God defined Highway 46, and that's where flooding begins. No. It's not where flooding begins. The wild rice and the otter tail, and I mean, there's many ways to do this thing. But Mike, and what I'm saying is in downtown Fargo, what you and the commission and what others did here was brilliant. Why can't we take some of that brilliance and put these engineers back to work on this diversion authority?
Well, I think that they're not mutually exclusive. So again, you know, upstream retention that's dispersed is good for comprehensive water management, and that's again why the
but we're already building ring dikes around Hickson and Oxbow.
Sure, and we're building a ring dike around Fargo virtually. It's just like Manitoba.
Yeah, but Fargo's what floods. Hickson doesn't flood.
Well, they have had impacts from slumping in the Oxbow. If you look at go by the clubhouse,
but they did build protection at Oxbow.
Right.
I'm talking about Hickson and Bakke. They don't flood.
So bottom line is there are impacts. So ring dikes, I think Manitoba is a good example. There's 181 cities that are ring dike. Fargo is going to be one of those. I think that ring dikes are part of the solution along with upstream retention, basin-wide retention, diversion, and they're not mutually exclusive. The sooner that we do all of them, the better off we're going to be. They all add value to each other.
I want more people to know about this project. I want them to see the beauty. Tell them where to go to find it.
Yep, go to cityoffargo.com and then punch in downtown framework, and it'll show you the 2002 framework plan of which all these plans are based.
You always answer questions when asked. Thank you for that, Mike.
Thank you, Joel.
Appreciate it. When we come back, General Dave Spritznadek had to look people in the eye today and say, you know what? Go home. We don't have any money to pay you. That's the North Dakota National Guard. He sent people home, and now he's coming on with us. So we'll talk to him about what this shutdown means. We'll also talk with Congressman Colin Peterson, and we'll find out. I'll ask the congressman if he's going to take his pay during this shutdown. Stick around.